We spend a lot of time on the teachings of Jesus, and now we're getting into why we're here as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, when he had that conversion, and you know, he was knocked off his horse, and the Spirit said, "Paul," or his name was Saul, "then why are you persecuting me?" And it was Christ. And he come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God gave him a ministry of helping to set up churches and how churches should operate. So we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then you got 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and what is in the middle? I refer to this like the Oreo cookie. Anybody like Oreo cookie? You got this side over here, and then you got the other side over here, and then in the middle is that sweet, gooey stuff. Well, 1 Corinthians 13 is that. It's the sweet love of Jesus. So over a period of time, as we got better understand about the gift of the Spirit and the different things, and in chapter 14 talks about the gift of prophecy and speaking in tongues and all the stuff that Paul tried to get us to help us to understand. So later on, we'll be looking a little bit more about that. Holy Spirit School will be winding down in about 3 weeks. I'm not sure exactly what we'll do on homecoming for a message, but we hope and pray that people come. And I want to be able to at least encourage the people that come that normally don't come or call this their home church, but they only come during homecoming because it is a time of celebration. Maybe they can share a little bit of what this church has done over the years. Last week I talked about posture and an assertive posture. All of us know about posture when we were in school, grade kid, the teachers and all that used to tell us to sit up straight and all that. Well, I put a list together of times when the people of God are encouraged to assert themselves in order to be overcomers. And I took a lot of these things of being a diverse set of books from the Old or from the New Testament because there's a theme and some isolated principles in the themes of the New Testament. And the notion is not only the fabric of the Bible, but it's the assertive posture of the people of God. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. And I always butcher this name, Epaphras, I think I'm saying it right, which is one of you and servant of Christ Jesus, 10 degrees. He is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God. You know who else wrestled with God? Was Jacob. But one of Paul's proteges, Epaphras, was wrestling in prayer. I think it's interesting, that purpose of wrestling in prayer. How many of us wrestled in prayer, either for ourselves or for other people? It's a demanding physical activity that we can engage in. In fact, wrestling is harder than running. For those of you who used to do that, I don't know, they still have wrestling stuff in high school, I guess. And it's harder than weightlifting, and it's more difficult to play in basketball or even football. He is wrestling in prayer, and the outcome or the objective for which he is wrestling is that you may be able to stand firm in the will of God. Apparently, it's not easy to stand firm in the will of God. I know I have found that to be true in my own life. It's not easy. We probably won't want to do it unless somebody is wrestling in prayer on our behalf, and thank God for the intercessors. We are overcomers, or we're overcome. So don't be surprised that the Bible talks about the trials that you may find yourself in, because our brothers and sisters throughout the world are undergoing similar trials. I'm always surprised when things don't go my way. I want things always to go my way. When I pray a particular thing and the prayer is not answered the way I think it should be, how can that be? How come God didn't answer my prayer the way I think it should be? Romans 15, verse 30 said, I urge you, this is Paul, I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggling by praying to God for me. Pray for each other. That's what Paul's saying. Paul was really had some challenges, so he's asking for prayer. He's describing his journey as a struggle. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, he says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I think we all meet a lot of people who are Christ followers, church folks, as we like to say. And sometimes that's not something that people generally agree upon. To yield. I've chosen not to engage, therefore I have been overcome, and I have yielded under spheres of influence. That's what I did. It's not my choice. It's a thing that happened to me. But we are told that we need to engage in a wrestling match with the Spirit of the living God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 said, for the good fight of faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you were made on your confession in the presence of many witnesses. We're talking about horses. I like horses, and most people do, but you know, sometimes horses frighten people. And I think it's really amazing, because if you cooperate with a horse, you don't have any trouble with them. Those who know who's in charge, the horse knows you're in charge and you're okay. You always say, well, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And that's true. A horse can be in charge. I got a little Boston Terrier that's in charge. And he knows it. But when we read that verse in Timothy, it says, take hold of eternal life. You need to know the authority that you have, and you need to know the Spirit of God that lives within you. Know the Word of God. It says that He belongs to you and you belong to Him, so stand. And we have capitulated a lot of times in our faith, and I'm just as guilty. We have yielded to that field that we shouldn't be waiting for, and we need to put on the whole armor of God, as Tina and Travis did that little series with the kids when we had kids here. And it says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to diminish strongholds. It doesn't say that we're not in a battle. It doesn't say we don't fight. It just says that the tools we have are not the tools that we use secularly or even for our carnal self. We're leading a Spirit-led life, and I pray that we are. Our tools have divine power to diminish strongholds that take place in our life. That's the power. So if you don't take up the tools that God has given us, then you don't have divine power. 1 Corinthians 9:24 said, do you know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. What is the prize? Eternal life. This is the contrary to today's world that we live in, where everybody gets a prize. They call it a participation trophy. It's a kind of affirming when you're doing it, but it doesn't really prepare you for the race in life because everybody doesn't get the same outcome. We're all at a different place in our life. But if we understand the gifts God has given us and make the most of that gift, Just think about the verse that says, run in such a way as to get the prize. You better find that race, because God called you to run that race in this thing called life. Further in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. So what's missing in that? I don't hear Paul with that self-righteous smugness says, I prayed the sinner's prayer. I'm good to go out from here. He said, I exercise extreme discipline in my life because I don't want to be disqualified after I've helped other people find their own lane. There's an assertive nature in that message to the community that populates the whole New Testament. These people struggled with all the things that we struggle with, and God gave them the victory. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, this is from the Message Bible. If you've never read the Message Bible, you'll find it's interesting because the message is translated in such a way that it puts a different perspective on the scripture. This is what it says. You've all been to the stadium and seen athletes race. Everyone runs, one wins, run to win. All good athletes run hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You, after the one that is eternal, I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line, and I'm giving it everything I got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying in top condition, and I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else about it, and then missing out myself. We need to encourage one another. That's what we're talking about. That gift and that hope that we have, we're all in a different place in our life, but we need to encourage one another because the forces that determine history are visible and invisible. I had to think about this statement because it's a pretty good summary statement. The forces that determine history fall into two categories, visible and invisible. I don't know about you, but I like to watch the evening news. I like it all, even some of the local news and so forth. And I like to listen to the CBS evening news because I get a different perspective on that one than I do on the ABC one and some of the other. So, and then you can kind of weigh and try to find out where the truth is in some of that stuff. But how much time and energy and effort do we invest in spiritual things? Don't just say, well, I believe in spiritual things. Think about what you do with them if you believe that they exist. That's the most important thing. Physical health doesn't come from saying, I believe exercise is valuable and I believe it's really good. If you don't ingest more calories than you burn, because if you routinely take more calories than you burn, you're going to get a little fluffy. I know that. Now, you can know that, but unless you adapt your behavior and align with what you know, you're just going to be informed and fluffy. I know what to do, and I know how to do it. I just don't do it. I looked in the mirror yesterday and the day before, and I had an ant bite or something on my leg, and I had to put a little cream on it. And if you want to really see a sight, look at yourself naked in the mirror. It'll wake you up. Like, what are you doing there, brother? But coming back to the church, I think the church for so long, we thought that information was equivalent to an outcome. We have a consumer mentality. Oh yeah, I've heard that, I read that, I know that, I appreciate that. You've heard it, you read it, and I commend you for investing time to learn it, but the real question is this. Is there any fruit in your life that suggests that you're practicing it? a fearless and moral inventory that we all need to do with ourselves, especially when it comes to life in the Spirit. Now, my Bible says that we'll know one another by our fruit, not by our diplomas. What we want to let happen in our life is that there'll be evidence from our behavior, how we spend our resources, how we invest our time, what we're aspiring to, and what encouraging people around us aspire to, what we cheer for. And it should be evident that the things in the kingdom of God matter to us. As the body of Christ, we just can't go out trying to collect people that are like-minded. We want to go out into the highways and the byways and find people that say they don't know the Lord and help them to become fully devoted followers, Christ followers. That's what we need to be doing. That's what we should be doing. If we want our church to grow, and we all say, yeah, I want our church to grow, then we need to reach into the community. Why else are we here? Oh, that's wonderful to come and encourage one another in the faith every Sunday. And I enjoy it because you're an encouragement to me. And I hope and pray I can be an encourager to you. But what we're here for is to spread that good news that we know to everybody around us. Thank God Joanne and Mark came when Joanne invited them. And I'm glad they stayed. But we got a whole bunch. Not only in our area, the world's in a mess. That's what it comes to. They need to know the good news of Jesus Christ. I love that song, and I think Ray Bolt said, people need the Lord. People need the Lord. But there we are. The visible forces, I think, sometimes are obvious. And the invisible forces, a little less so. We don't see the invisible forces. But the forces are at work in the non-visible realm, just as they are continuing in the visible realm. And the Bible says that God raised up kingdoms and put them down. That's the invisible force impacted the rise and the fall of nations. I've been studying the rise and fall of the Roman Empire for the last couple of months, and it's fascinating to see we as a country are following some of those same paths that caused the Roman Empire to fall. I hope we don't fall. We got a little different situation with our founding fathers and the Constitution and the rule of law, but that's gradually just being sent out to pasture, the rule of law. You're not responsible for anything. You see that with the riots and the burning in our cities and the stealing, and that's another story for another day. There's a tension. Remember, we keep talking about this idea, a tension between time and eternity. It's a paradox. It says, fix your gaze on what you can't see. How do you do that? Do you have to look with something other than your physical eye? It's about belief and faithfulness. It isn't about that we do the extraordinary. Is that we do the ordinary, extraordinary well. Now, I'm not looking for things to do extraordinary things or people to do that. I'm looking for people to own what we would deem them to be ordinary, godly men and women, godly husbands, godly wives, godly children, and to keep their word and to do the next right thing. And you do it extraordinarily well. It's almost every endeavor in life that I'm aware of actually comes from not some freakish set of gifts, but from an inordinate attention to the fundamentals and the perseverance in the application of these things. Perseverance is an important part of our life. If it wasn't for Judy persevering, even though she got some good medical attention, and by the way, she was declared cancer-free on Tuesday, so that's a good thing. But she had to persevere. And there were some rough spots. We all have rough spots. We all have challenges. David's going through an extraordinary challenge right now. And it's really, really hard. You've got to persevere. So our light and momentary afflictions are achieving something for us. And it takes tremendous faith to believe that. We need one another to do that. What's it saying in Ecclesiastes? Two are better than one. When one falls down, the other's there to pick us up. We can't make it by ourselves, church. We can't. There's an important feature common to those realms of the visible and the invisible. I want to look at a couple of them in closing. We're faced with inception of rebellion. Now, we were born or birthed as a country from what? A revolution. And it's interesting that our self-perception, if you read British history, even the British perspective, that taxation without representation, it wasn't fair. Even the British people didn't think it was fair. And the burden was placed on us by an incensed king, a leader. And finally, we as the people said, that's enough. The majority of the citizens would have gladly yielded to the king with just some reasonable response, and he didn't want to do that. So we birthed a rebellion. Until this day, it's a spirit that we all struggle with. We're not a great at taking coaching. we call it American history. We are rugged individuals. And that's true, we are. And in the language of a toddler, me do that. And once those forces are released, they tend to continue from generation to generation until something happens to cancel the effects. It's kind of a spiritual equivalent of inertia. You know, they say a body in motion stays in motion. A body that rests will stay at rest. You need the power to break that inertia. That's why we need the help of the Holy Spirit. And He is not optional. We need, and He needs us. So wherever you are in your spiritual journey, cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Be certain that you're putting into practice the routines of your life that benefit and produce good fruit. If spirit baptism is part of your journey, don't look at it like a medallion on the wall or a merit badge on your chest. Spend time every day praying in the Spirit. If it's not part of your life yet, join into the journey and learn more about that gift of baptism in the Spirit. So wherever you are in your journey of faith, put it into practice. Ask yourself, do I involve myself daily in spiritual things? If the answer is yes, figure out what it is. What do you do on a daily basis that's an acknowledgement of spiritual things and an investment in yourself? How is the Holy Spirit consciously involved in your life, your daily life? Now, I am aware of satanic and demonic influences in life. We now even have Satan clubs in our schools. Not holding Bible clubs like we used to think. Now they got Satan clubs in our schools. We are in that battle of good and evil, but more importantly, time and eternity. I'm aware of Satan and the demonic influences in life. It doesn't mean that we're being oppressed or possessed, but in the sphere of influence, you see anything that could say, well, that's probably got something to do with them. It's not really a holy thing that we're engaged in, but yeah, let me just seek the help and kind of just pull the curtain back and be conscious, if not accidental, to see what's going on around you in the spiritual realm. Three little things. The spiritual world is real. We're involved in a spiritual world. Either we're in a spiritual world and it's real, or maybe we should just close the church if we're not in a spiritual world. Because the spiritual world impacts our life both physically, emotionally, and financially. In every way. The other thing is that the spiritual world impacts your life. If you haven't yet been invited to turn your finances over to God, I challenge that you do that. You're making a grave mistake if you don't involve God in your financial decisions. It's like not inviting God into your health life. It's like saying, whatever happens, I don't want God helping me to be healthy. I'm just going to eat vegetables. Well, you want to invite God into your physical growth and strength? You want to invite God into your financial strength? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid that he's going to tell you to give him everything you got? We don't own anything anyhow. We're just good stewards of what he's blessed us with. So when you give back. It's that law of reciprocity. It's fascinating. So that a discipleship point for all of us, we should go ahead and just take that step of faith. It'll change your life. In the season of uncertainty that is unfolding in front of us, with the shaking throughout the earth, it's not only in our country, it's all worldwide. Security is nothing other than Almighty God. And the last thing, you have to have spiritual influence. I find it interesting now, and you hear, oh, so-and-so, they're an influencer. And what in the world is all these people that are influencers? And all that translates into leadership. We got people that are influencing us that have no clue of what's going on in the Christian world or the spiritual world influencing us. Anyhow, so as Christ followers, you have spiritual influence. And the question for all of us, what are we using it for? What is the fruitfulness of it? Do people know that you're a person of faith? And not to brag on Tina, but I am going to brag on Tina. Tina works with an awful lot of people that don't have a relationship with God. She got a lot of them. But she becomes available for them and with them and helps them. She even has one fellow that's got some cancer problem. Even go to the doctor with him. I guarantee everybody at Crowder Excavating knows that Tina is a Christian. And she has that kind of influence. So, there's a season in our life, and even in my life. Well, you know about this pastor stuff. And always, one thing I did find out, I didn't want to be a pastor. I did not want to be a reverend. If you look around, some of the reverends around are not so good. So I use it in a formal time. If I need a new sample or a paper or something, I'll use it. But for the most part, I didn't want to be no reverend. I wanted to be a pastor. And I hope and pray that I keep the proper perspective on it. But you do want people to know that you're all in with Jesus. That you might say, well, somebody will be offended maybe. You might be right. Somebody will be offended, but somebody will also be blessed. What a privilege. I got accused early on. One of the Board of Ordained Ministry people said, you know, you're awful quick to pray. You shouldn't do that. You might not want to. Well, I do it anyhow. We went to Joaquina yesterday Friday for the fish fry over there, and somebody was sharing with me some troubles in their life. I said, well, let's pray. We went to her physical therapist on Thursday, because the thing with her arm was going on there. And he looked at us and he said, okay, well, let's get started. But first, let's just have a prayer. I said, how did you know we were Christian? He said, your shirt. I got a shirt that says something about he's the only fish in the sea or something. What a cool thing. Anyhow, I said all that to say this. Well, let me just say, Lord asks us to do these things, and through the gift of the Spirit, he affirms in us, and he gives us the ability, and it's nothing more than just being faithful. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, he being God, is the author and the perfecter of our story, the one that imagined our story, and he knew our story while we were still in the womb, is the same one that's going to complete it. He's going to keep on writing these chapters until we win. I like that. We're playing on the right team. We're going to win. In fact, if you read the back of the book, you find out we are overcomers, and we won and win.